President Truman's Press and Radio Conference in the Old State Building, 7 August 1952.
I have a couple of statements I'd like to read to you, and they're all mimeographed and ready for you outside. I'm not going to read them but once. I'm very sorry to say that we've had a terrible drought situation in several states, and the federal government is going to do everything it can to help the farmers in those areas. At the request of Governor Weatherby of Kentucky, Governor Browning of Tennessee, I've just this morning declared these two states disaster areas and located $3 million of emergency funds to buy and distribute feed to save the basic dairy and beef herds of those areas. This money will be advanced by Housing and Home Finance Agency to the Department of Agriculture and will be used to distribute hay and other feed to farmers on reasonable terms. Tennessee and Kentucky herds have been the hardest hit so far. As other states ask for help, they will get immediate consideration. The Department of Agriculture, under its own authority, has already recognized disaster conditions in 10 states and is offering credit and other assistance. There was a time when such disasters were shrugged off as local misfortunes. We've come to understand in this country that the whole nation loses in these circumstances, and we must all pitch in to do what we can to help. That's the end of that statement. Now, everybody is talking about the November election these days, but it seems to me they're putting the cart before the horse. The first order of business is registration. This is something that all Americans ought to think about right away. Americans are mighty proud of their democratic system of government, but when it comes to voting, many other countries put us to shame. In 1948, for instance, only 51% of the eligible voters in this country went to the polls. In the last general election in France, 75% of the eligibles voted. In Italy, 89% voted. In Canada, 75%. In Japan, 71%. In Israel, 72%. In Sweden, 80%. In England, 83%. And in the last election in Belgium, 90% of the voters went to the polls. I'm informed that as of January this year, more than 29 million adult Americans were not even registered to vote. I think we should all be disturbed by the fact that all during this century, more and more citizens are staying away from the polls. In the election of 1900, for instance, more than 73% of our citizens voted. In 1880, more than 78% of the eligibles voted. The privilege of voting is one of the most treasured rights on earth, as those who live in totalitarian countries can testify. But we cannot have a big vote in this country without a big registration. Newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, and other media can do much to enlist interest in this subject. So too can many nonpartisan organizations that exist in every community. A great decision will be made by the electorate on November the 4th of this year. And I hope every American of voting age will participate in it. That surely is of vital importance.
President, what do you think is the reason for this low voting in America?
Laziness and indifference. They think George will do it, and it'll be all right anyway, and you don't need me, and I'd rather go on a vacation if I have a day off than to go and vote.
Mr. President, there's a lot of speculation that Ellis Arnold has asked you to accept his resignation. Could you clarify that?
Well, I have no comment to make on it, Tony.
Could you say whether you have?
I have no comment to make on it, Tony.
You know what I was
going to
ask.
Go on and ask it.
I just asked, are you considering calling an extra session to consider the price?
Yes, I have it under consideration.
If so, sir, if our time is up, you'd like
to. I say I have it under consideration. We have to wait for further developments to see whether it's necessary or not. If it is necessary, I'll call it.
Mr. President.
What is it, Duke?
I hate to ask
Go ahead.
You took your third beating, not home yesterday.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't at all. The president has a right to vote for anybody he pleases in the primary, and if the other fellow wins, the president always supports the ticket. I'm just as fond of Symington as I always was, but I was in the frame of mind to vote for the other fellow, which I did. And I have that right, same as you have or any other citizen, and that doesn't affect my standing in the state of Missouri one little bit. Yes, you did, Duke. That's what you're trying to do. Make sure that I've been discredited. All right, your question is answered.
Mr. President, are you pleased with the action of the South Carolina State Democratic Convention?
I'm always pleased when Democrats vote as they should.
Are you pleased with Mr. Burns' speech? You said he would vote for Stevenson.
I didn't read it.
I didn't read it. He said he would vote for Stevenson and Sparks in this election.
I'm glad he's been converted.
New York Senate race?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to see him as the candidate against Mr.
Well, no, that's a matter for Mr. Harriman himself to decide. I don't select candidates outside the state of Missouri anyway. Now that's causing me to consider that situation.
I wonder if you could clear up a little point of history for me.
Try my best.
I was in Chicago when you were here, considering who to support the president for the presidential nomination. We got several different reports. The first one was that you had decided to back Vice President Barton. And another one is that you decided to back Harriman. Could you clear up that whole area in there?
Why, it's easily enough cleared up. The vice president went from here expecting to be a candidate for president. Had he been a candidate and stayed a candidate, I would have supported him. However, I think we nominated a man who can be elected, the best man we could possibly pick, and that's no reflection on any of the other candidates.
Have you ever, sir, considered supporting Harriman?
No.
You never said you would support Mr. Harriman?
No. Mr. Harriman asked me if it would be all right for him to get the New York delegation for himself, and I told him certainly it would be all right for me to do whatever he pleased.
President, this week you saw the musical show Porgy and Bess. I wonder if you would say whether you enjoyed it and whether you think the Europeans might enjoy it.
I enjoy it very much, and I know that the Europeans will enjoy it. It's an excellent show, and I'd advise all of you to go and see it, because you can get in on passes, I think. I can't. I have to pay my way.
Senator Spratton has written a letter to you urging you to release portions of the Trade Commission's report on the international oil cartel. Do you plan to do so as a result of
it? It's under consideration, and has been all the time.
Mr. President, do you know whether there's any precedent for the invitation you've extended to Governor Stevenson to come here? Usually whether any other president in office has asked the nominee of the party to sit in on cabinet?
Whenever the president is to be succeeded by a nominee of his own party, he always does that. But Governor Stevenson and I had a session in Chicago, and he suggested that it would be a very fine thing for the party if we could discuss the situation, and therefore I asked him if he wouldn't come to Washington, and he was very glad to come.
Discuss what situation?
The program for the election of the Democratic ticket. There has to be a program.
Mr. President, will you discuss your role in the campaign?
Everything that's necessary to make the Democrats win will be discussed. Now, you can take the whole category from start to finish. You won't have to ask me any special questions. Everything will be discussed that's necessary.
Mr. President, what has been your reaction to General Eisenhower's speech at the home?
I have no comment to make on that.
Mr. President, what is your reaction to Governor Stevens' remark about cloture that he believed the Senate had the right to?
I am standing on the Democratic platform.
Do you think conservation will be an important issue in the campaign?
I certainly do. Reclamation, conservation, and all the farm program will be most important in the campaign. It was in 1948, if I remember correctly.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You surprised me, Tony.